some things that's in my heart. I want us to think about something here, because we all face crisis. Now, I don't always talk about crisis and problems, but I do realize that life is filled with disappointments, hurts. It's filled with, well, Pastor Bob is going through a surgery right now, and his family's gone through some situations here at one time. The other building was blown away by a tornado. So I'm not accenting or talking about bad things all the time, but what I'm talking about is bad things happen, and when they do, we don't have to give in to the bad. We can be like the little woman that her son had died when the prophet, when she was running to the prophet, and the prophet sent his servant out in 2 Kings chapter 4 and said, ask her if everything is all right. Her son had just died, but she answered, it is well. It is well. Now you say, now, Pastor Don, that just doesn't make sense. If something is wrong, and then we're asked the question, how are things with you? And you answer, it is well. Well, her son had died, but she knew there was a better answer than what she was living with as far as what her son had, what had just happened to her son. She knew something good was going to happen. So I want you to think in terms with me here for a few minutes, that no matter what may go on in your life in the past, have gone on in your life, what is going on, or what you may face, if you'll learn how to say, not just words, but if you'll learn how to say, it is well, you can come through one way or another. Amen. And when I say one way or another, I mean you'll come through good every time. I know in our experiences in life, God has helped us to come through. And you've all heard me talk about it many times. You know, when our son was killed and our two sons went into the world, and it just looked like, man, this, how could this be? We've been your servants, Lord. We preached the gospel. We've done everything we know to do. We've been faithful, and now here our sons go into the world, and my youngest, you know, was drinking and drugs, and so was the other one, and he didn't like me very much because I represented who he was mad at. He was mad at God because our son was killed. And, the only time he liked me was when he wanted something. And I kind of got, it took me a little while to understand what he was doing when he liked me. But, you know, I didn't give up, and I loved him in spite of what he did and the roads that they took. I just kept believing God. My wife and I kept praying. But one day he decided, I've had enough of the world. I'm coming back home to Jesus. And whoever is watching now, if you've got loved ones or a son or a daughter that's out there, one way or another, you can believe God and they will come up. Because the Bible said, train the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So you hold to that truth. You hold to that fact. That's what my wife and I did. And you know, both of them came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. One is working for me. The other is living over in Knoxville, Tennessee, happy, full of the Holy Ghost, still ministering the Word of God. Amen. And he's traveled all over the world for me, setting up my crusades and my conferences, and made it possible for me to reach multitudes of people because of his compassion and love, because he really did come back and love me after God changed his heart. Amen. So I want to tell you, God is a good God, and I want you to look at your neighbor, and you got to smile every time you say something now, because if you don't smile, it doesn't do you much good. So look at them and say, it is well. Well, you know, how do you get to the place that you can say, it is well? How did the little woman that we're talking about in 2 Kings chapter 4, how did this happen that she could answer, it is well? Well, the prophet of God would pass by her house And when the prophet of God passed by her house, one day she looked at her husband and she said, I perceive this is a man of God. We should build him a room. We should make a place for him so when he comes by, he'll have a place of rest. So what she did, her and her husband, they built a room for the man of God. And as he would come by on his journey, he would stop in the home. And one day, Elijah said to his servant, he said, why don't you go and ask her what I could do for her? Could I speak to the king about her? And what could I do? And she come back and she said, nothing, everything's okay. And so Elijah said, does she have a child? And he said, no, she doesn't have a child. So he spoke the word and he said, you're going to have a child. See, what she did, she prepared a room for the man of God. She sowed a seed. She did something. She recognized one day, I'm going to need some help. See, we all need God's help. Everybody say, we all need God's help. I recognize I need God's help. And as the more I mature and the more the years come up on my life, I realize more and more I need God's help to make it through the day in victory, in peace, in love, in power. So she sowed a seed and she was preparing for her future. She was preparing for something in her life. She didn't necessarily expect when she built this room to have a child, but God loved her and he gave her a child. Well, when he became of age and was in the field, and he died out in the field, and the father sent him back to his mother, the mother put him on the bed. She got the horses together, and she ran towards the man of God. See, when you prepare beforehand, when you dig your roots into the Word of God, and you get strong roots, then when you need to, you can produce fruit. Is that right? See, if you got good roots, then you're going to have good fruits. But if you don't have good roots, when times of trouble comes, when times of persecution, when times of testing, when times of trials come, you're going to wither away. You're going to get discouraged. You can't answer like this little woman did, it is well. But she was able to answer, it is well. And tonight, I'm telling you, there's something, Johnny, that song you were singing there a few minutes ago, it just blessed my heart. I want you to know, I believe somebody is going to walk out of this room with a mindset that has changed, that your heart has changed, and you're going to say, everything's going to be all right. Everything is all right. It is well. Well, you know, when the lady went running to, the little woman went running to the man of God. When she went running to the man of God, and he said to the servant, ask her if it's well. She said, it is well. And she Elisha came to her home, spoke the word of God, and that child came back to life. Well, you know what? She prepared way before it happened. So when something did happen, she wasn't in a panic. She wasn't in a state of fear. She wasn't in a state of saying, I don't know what to do. We have God's word. Amen. We have God's word. Everybody say, I have God's word.
I have God's word.
I'm going to turn over to Mark chapter 4. And we've all probably read this or heard this one time or another. But you know, I often say, every time I read the Bible, it does not change. People change. Times change. People change their mind. But this is stability. This is the same. It never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And in Mark chapter 4, we read, and he said, In verse 4, as it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground when it did not have some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root with it. And some seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on the ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, I have been speaking and preaching quite a bit lately on what I'm talking about. If we've got good roots, then we will produce good fruits. But if we don't have good roots, when drought comes, you know, the scripture says that the tree is planted by the water. In Jeremiah, it talks about the tree, that its roots grows deep and it grows towards the water. Well, every day, I'm not always trying to fix my exterior. It's my interior that I'm always working on. Because I know if I have it right on the inside, it has to be right on the outside. And too many times we try to fix things from the outside, and when we fix it from the outside, we're just covering it up. But when we get it fixed from the inside, the outside has to be right. You know, I read a book years ago by a psychologist, and it was a great book at the time. And the psychologist, he had been a plastic surgeon before he decided to go back and become a psychologist, and he talked about the different people that he had worked on to make themselves look better. And he said, I fixed a lot of people on the outside, and I made them look better. I made them look younger. But he said many of those never were happy with themselves. They didn't feel any better. They didn't have a better self-image. He said, so I decided to change my profession from being a plastic surgeon to being a psychologist, because I felt people needed help inside more than they needed help outside. Well, you see, what I'm talking about tonight is knowing how every day to get up and love the Lord with all of your heart. Love people with all of your heart, and not allow your emotions to be greater inside of you than the God that's inside of you. You know, I've been making this statement quite often, and I noticed one of my people put it on Facebook today, and I make this statement, and I say, your emotions have no intelligence. Your emotions have no intelligence. And so when people live by emotion, they become irrational. They make bad choices. They make bad decisions. They don't trust God. They don't see victories in their life. And it's from, they're living from one crisis to the next. God doesn't want us living from one crisis to the next. He wants us to enjoy life here on this earth, on our way to heaven. Is that not right? Well, we just read the scripture there. It said, where the sower went forth and he sowed the seed. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on among the thorns. And then it said that the thorns and the cares of this world came and they choked them out. And then the sun came and it burned it up. And then others that fell on the stony ground, the birds came and ate it up. But some fell on good ground and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. See, oh my goodness, God wants us to be good fruit producers. God wants us to be good fruit producers. You know, when sometimes I go up in the Washington state and I speak up in Washington, and I've been there a number of times in the fall because they have a great, that particular area I go, it's near Canada, right near the Canadian border, and they have all these apple orchards and those beautiful apples. I see all those beautiful apples, and I know the roots of that tree has to be good to produce those beautiful apples. Amen. See, every day we need to be fruit that people can look at, and we can be good, not just for ourselves, but for other people. Our world is in trouble. Our world is in a bad shape. I don't have to tell you that. You already know that. But you and I can change this world. Somebody said, well, I'm just one person. It only takes one person to minister to one person. Charlie just gave an example of here a few minutes ago. There's been 8,000 soul winners that have gone out and ministered, and now it has touched literally thousands of people's lives. If we keep this up, if we keep it up, one touching one, we can change the whole world before Jesus comes. Jesus is coming soon. Everybody say, Jesus is coming soon. You know, somebody said, well, you know, Pastor Don, I heard that all of my life. Ever since I've been young, I've heard that. Well, you know what? I have too. When I was a little boy, my mother used to tell me, Jesus is coming soon. And, you know, I'd get frightened sometimes at night because I'd think, Jesus may come tonight. I hope I'm ready. But you know what? Here I am. I'm 73 years of age. Jesus hasn't come. But I want you to know I'm still expecting. I'm still believing. We read back where Paul and the apostles talked about the coming of the Lord. They thought it was soon. Well, if it was soon for them, it's got to be sooner now. I mean, it's got to be soon. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, and one day he's going to split those eastern skies. And when he splits those eastern skies, as the scripture has said, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we, if I'm here, I don't know if I will be or not. I don't know if you will or not. But if I'm here, it said, this mortal shall be changed from mortal to immortality. I'm telling you, the dead in Christ is going to burst those graves out. Can't you just see it? Those in the oceans that they died and drowned, and those that was been cremated, those bodies come back together by the Holy Ghost. God brings them. Somebody said, how can that happen? I don't even know. I don't even care. I just believe it, and I'm looking forward for that day when Jesus is going to split those eastern skies, and you and I are going to be caught up together. See, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. You know why? The Bible says so. And I believe everything that the Bible says. See, my faith is in what God says, not what some president may say. My faith is in what God says, not what some politician may say. My faith is in what God's word says, because it says he will never change. So when he comes out of the sea, those that's been consumed and their bodies have been burned by cremation and disintegrated and their ashes have been strewn. All at once, those things are just going to form together and rise up and go through the air and meet Jesus. And then he's going to let us that are alive. Well, I hope I'm there. But if I'm one of those others, I know, hey, if I'm one of those others, I get to go first. But whichever side I'm on, whether I'm one that's in the grave or whether I'm the one that's standing here, and it happens soon, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. No more struggles. No more walking by faith. No more looking at your neighbor and saying, it is well, because everything is over. Everything has been done. You're now complete in him. You're with him now. 7 years, we're going to be walking those streets of gold. 7 years, we're going to be walking those streets of gold. Pearly gates. I'm going to see my son. I'm going to see my mama, my daddy. I'm going to see my in-laws. I'm going to see all of other relatives, aunts and uncles. And I'm going to talk to Peter. I'm going to have a few conversations with some of the old prophets. Oh, I'm not crazy. I'm just happy. You know, I get to thinking about it, Charlie. Sometimes I'm thinking, maybe I ought to get my ticket a little early. Because it's sounding so good. I've never been anywhere like that. Man, I've been to Hawaii. I've been to Fiji. I've been to Papua New Guinea. I've been to all kinds of places in the world that's a beautiful place. But you know what? I've never been to heaven. And when I start talking about it and thinking about it, I'm thinking, well, maybe, Lord, maybe I might ought to go today. But then he said, I'm not ready. You stay there and you help a few folks. Amen? You know, Enoch, y'all have to forgive me. I'm just out of my tree tonight. I'm telling you, this is so good. This is so good. Oh, well, Enoch, he just was walking with God, and they got to talking, and God said, you know what, Enoch? There's no sense in you staying here. Just come on up here with me and let's just talk all the time. So I won't have to look out there. Just come on up. Who knows? Who knows? It could happen before I get through preaching that Jesus is going to come. See, Jesus is going to come soon. And so we don't know the day nor the hour. So don't be weary because Jesus has not come yet. He's got the door open for those that are lost and don't know Jesus. He's got the door open and he's saying, come to me, all you that labor and are of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So today, let us be people with strong roots that we're saying it's well with us. Let us be one that our seed has grown deep into the ground and we're producing 30, 60, and 100-fold. I want to be a fruit producer, don't you? I want to be a fruit producer. Is anybody here tonight? Wow. See, the ones that are sown on good ground are those that hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. See, when you're rooted and grounded in the word of God, I want you to understand something. It'll not stop trials. It won't have you, you won't have to stop dealing with problems if you got roots deep into the earth. But it gives you the power to deal with it. See, I want to say it again. Strong roots, good roots, doesn't stop trials. It doesn't stop bad things from happening, but it gives you the power to work through it. Now in Matthew chapter 7, we won't turn there for time's sake, but verses 24 through 27, we read about in the scriptures where the Bible said that one person built their house on the sand, and when they built their house on the sand, when the winds came and the waves came, the rains came, the floods came, the house was washed away. But the one that built his house on the rock, when the rains came, the floods came, or we'll put it this way, when the trials came, when the hardships came, this one stood because it was built on the right foundation. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you answer tonight that it's well? See, many people today in the church heard the word and received it gladly. But because they don't have deep enough roots, the cares of this life have stopped them from producing in difficult times. They get their thoughts and emotions on the difficult moments rather than realizing God is in them and everything is well. God will take them through. But see, the problem becomes so big because they don't have deep enough roots to know how to withstand the storm. We can withstand the storm. You know, I think about Jesus. I think about Jesus being in the boat and the disciples when they were crossing the water. And a storm came on the water. And when the storm came, it was being tossed back and forth, and the winds and was just blowing the water, and some of the water was coming in. Well, the disciples were frightened. How many times has something happened in your life? How many times has something happened in your life and you became frightened and you become afraid? All at once you panic. You say, Lord, why are you letting this happen and what's going on? The disciples were frightened, but they had Jesus in the boat. They were frightened, but they had Jesus in the boat. They had no cause. They had no reason to be frightened. So he said, you think, yeah, the storm was there, the waves, the water was coming into the boat. Jesus wasn't frightened. Jesus wasn't even awake. He was at rest. He was asleep. You know, Jesus had communication with his Father all the time. You know, a lot of Christians today, they don't spend time in prayer unless they're in trouble. They don't go to church sometimes unless they're in trouble. They don't give an offering or give their tithe, as Charlie was talking about, sometimes unless they're in trouble. But the Bible talked about how Jesus would go out and pray. He would go out early in the morning and pray. Sometimes it even talked about how he went out and he prayed all night long. I'm not telling you to pray all night long. I'm not telling you to get up every day and pray. But I'm saying it's necessary. If it was necessary for Jesus to pray, I believe it's necessary for us to spend some time in prayer. Amen? So when we have prayer time here at church, sometimes your body says, I'd like to go to prayer, but I'm just so tired. Next week when prayer time comes, I know prayer's going on at the church, but I'm just so tired. Next week when prayer time comes, oh, I know prayer is, but I'm just so tired. Why don't you tell your body to shut up? Why don't you tell your emotions, they don't have any intelligence, that you need to go to prayer? You tell your emotions what you're going to feel instead of them telling you what you're going to feel. Amen? Well, the waves and the storm was there, but Jesus didn't even wake up because he was at rest. You say, now, we're not Jesus. No, we're not, but we got him living in us. See, the disciples were all fearful and afraid. They didn't have the connection that Jesus had with the Father. They could have. But they were looking at this. Finally, they were so frightened and fearful, they went down and woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? I can hear Jesus say, where are we going? What's going on? Well, don't you know? Can't you feel the boat rocking? The storm is so bad. Jesus is saying, I don't understand all of your anxieties and your fears. He just kind of holds on and walks up the stairs of the boat and gets out there and he just says, peace, be still. He never did get into their fear. He never did get into their weaknesses and all of their anxieties. He stayed in faith. In other words, Jesus is saying, it is well. It is well. See, I've learned that if I spend time with the Lord because I want to spend time with the Lord, not because I need to, I find strength comes from the Lord because I want to be with Him. I long for Him. Psalms 43 and 1, I believe it is, David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. This morning, when I woke up this morning and I began my prayer time and I began to meditate and begin to pray, I was just saying, Lord, fill my thirsty cup. Let me be an example today. Let me touch somebody. I didn't start asking God to pay all my bills off and all of this. I mean, I want all that to happen. But that wasn't my first thoughts. My first thoughts was, I just want to be with you, Jesus. I just want to love you, Jesus. I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you. I want to let you know I thank you for last night's rest. I thank you for today that you're going to give me good things, that you're going to order my steps. You're going to protect me. You're going to watch over me. If I'm somewhere where some crazy person is with guns and shoots and shooting and doing crazy things, if I happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, your angels of protection is going to be around me, Lord. You're going to watch over me. Amen. Wow. You know, I just saw, I didn't know it till today, but my wife was telling me about the explosion that took place in Istanbul. Well, I have to go, soon I have to go to Istanbul. And I looked at that, and somebody said, are you going to change your plans? No. No, it's well. It is well. See, we can't get into fear because of what's happening over there. What's happening over there? We got to realize everything is well. God is with us. God is with us. Somebody say, God is with me. Now, somebody said, why does bad things happen to God's people? I'm just almost out of the time, so bear with me. Why does bad things happen to good people? Because there's an evil devil that's going to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's out to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, when you're in a storm and you're tossed here and there and you begin to experience worry and fear, you start reminding yourself that Jesus is in the house. Remind yourself, Jesus is in my house. See, that's what I do in the morning. I get up and I remind myself, Jesus is in my house. This old body is just the place that my spirit and soul lives in. It's just the place, it's the exterior that you see. You don't see the real me, you see the exterior of me. As I said, when that trumpet sounds, my spirit and soul, it's going to be taken away. Do you want to be ready? See, that's one reason why every day I want to make good decisions, right decisions. I want right attitudes. I don't want jealousy. I don't want strife. I don't want envy. I don't want anger. I don't want any of these emotions living inside of me and controlling my life. I forgive people because when you don't forgive people, they're still in control of your decisions. See, the people that you don't forgive, somebody said, but you don't know how they've hurt me. You don't know how bad they've done. You don't know how bad they've done me. No, I don't. I don't. A lady that grew up in our church in Tennessee, she grew up, she learned the word. She's just absolutely incredible lady. I dedicated her two sons. Never forget dedicating those boys. They grew up. A drunk driver hit one of them and killed them. Well, she was obviously devastated, totally devastated. Anybody would be. And the woman was tried and given a very small, small sentence. And at first, she was very troubled because the life of her son was taken by a woman that was intoxicated. And here, she doesn't have to pay but just a few months. She was angry and bothered, but she prayed about it, and God took that anger out. She went to the prison, and she forgave the lady. The lady got saved. The lady's out of prison. They're best of friends today, and now they're doing ministry together. I'm telling you, so you can't allow your emotions to be bigger in your life than the peace and the joy and the love and the power of God in your life. Is anybody with me? You know, there was a gentleman in back in the 1800s. His name was Horatio Stafford. And he became a very profitable attorney. Had a lot of money, and his life was really blessed. But he was a believer. He was a believer. And some of his friends included D.L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and many other well-known men in ministry at that time. And even though he had a good profession, successful, and even though he had the money to do what he wanted to do, tragedy struck. The Great Chicago Fire came. They lost all of their wealth. They lost everything they had. But instead of them being angry, instead of them being mad at God, instead of them complaining, instead of them feeling sorry for themselves and saying, God, where are you? And God, why didn't you stop this? They started volunteering, helping other people that was even in worse condition than they were. 2 years they took off just to help other people, even though they had lost everything they had. But God began to return things to them little by little. And as it did, the money began to come back. And so they had some friends in Europe. And their friends in Europe kept saying, would you come and visit us? Would you please come and visit us? Finally, he decided to take his whole family on the sea and go to see his friends in Europe. And just before they were ready to leave, some business situations came up and Horatio had to stay back. He couldn't go on that ship, but he sent his wife and four daughters on the ship. And as they were on the ship, they collided with another ship. And when they did, those four daughters were lost in the wreckage. It was a sad moment. The wife survived by hanging on to some debris until someone came and put her in a lifeboat and helped her. When she got to the shore, she sent a telegram to her husband. She was overcome with sadness and distress. She sent him two words, and the two words were saved. And then the second word was alone. She was alone, but she was saved. Well, obviously, this devastated this family after having gone through a great loss. And here now, four daughters they had lost. Well, he decided to go ahead and join his wife, so he got on the ship, and as he began to go through the Atlantic Ocean, they came to a particular place, and they announced that this was near the wreckage of where the ship had been saved. There was only 27 people that was saved in that accident. Out of the hundreds that was on the ship, there's only 27 saved, and she was one of the 27. But as they got nearby, Stafford didn't give up. He didn't get angry. He didn't give up hope. He didn't run from God. He didn't mock God. He didn't quit God. But as he got near, he pulled out his pen and he got a piece of paper and he began to pen these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let the blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. So when you hear that song again, that old song that's been sung for years and years and years, and when you hear it sing, realize it wasn't someone just writing a song, but it was someone that had experienced what I'm talking about here this evening, that had roots deep enough to produce good fruit when things were bad. Amen. God has good things in store for you, even though bad things come your way. Remember, I was all excited a few minutes ago, and I was screaming a little bit probably. But I was talking about we're going to heaven one day. And so why do we let these little trials? I've lost a son too, I told you. My wife lost her brother in an accident. He was just 20 years old. He was attending Buffalo University in New York, and they lived in Canada, and he was driving back and forth across the border, and the boy next door was in the car with him. They both were attending university, and a drunk driver hit them and killed them both instantly, and my mother-in-law had a surprise birthday party waiting for him, and he never got to get home to that. Well, you know, we've all had our situations in life. But the more that I've had, the more I've turned to Jesus. When it happened, I told my mother-in-law, at the time, of course, we hadn't lost. I said, let Jesus be more real to you now than he's ever been in your life. Love him more than you've ever loved him, even though you're so sad at the moment and you're grieving and it looks like your life can't go on. God will heal you where you hurt. God healed my wife and me where we hurt and give us the strength. And here I stand today declaring the goodness of God. Make good decisions. Make good decisions when you get up in the morning so those roots will grow deep. You know, I've got some in my backyard. I've planted some things back there, and I go back and I just water them and I fertilize them and I take off dead leaves. And, you know, I just every day I look out and I got some that blooms flowers every day. And I get up after I pray and I just look for those flowers to bloom. And I go out front. I've got some things out there, and I just look for the flower to pop up. I look for the greenery. You know, I just want those roots to be taken care of. And so that's why I water them, and I've gotten some soil. You know, a few times I've gone and had some soil brought in to make sure it's good soil and the best to fertilize. I want to take care of the roots of those plants. So I'm telling you tonight, take care of your roots so you can say, it's well, and make good decisions. As I close, let God lead you in every step you take. Let God lead you in every step you take. Make good decisions. You know, when Ronald Reagan was a young boy, his aunt took him to the shoe cobbler to have him a pair of shoes made. And so when he sat down and the shoe cobbler measured his foot, and the shoe cobbler asked Ronald Reagan as a boy, "What would you like, square toes or round toes?" He said, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know, sir." And so the cobbler kept prompting him for a decision, and he wouldn't make one. He said, "Well, you go on and you think about it a little while. And you come back and let me know, because I can't really make your shoes until you tell me what you want, square or round." He said, "Okay." Well, he didn't come back. He couldn't make up his mind. So the shoe cobbler happened to see him on the street, and he said, "Oh, son, Ronnie, did you decide on your shoes whether you want round toes or square toes?" Oh, no, sir, I'm sorry, I just can't make up my mind." He said, "Okay, you just come by my store and pick them up, and they'll be ready in a few days." So finally, he was settled and he was at peace, because the shoe cobbler was going to make him shoes. And so he went over and he tried his shoes on, and he looked, and one had square toes and one had a round toe. And the shoe cobbler, he looked at the shoe cobbler and he said, "Why did you make me two different shoes?" He said, "You wanted me to make your decision, and I did." See, too often what people do, we let it influence us to make the same decision they make. We need to make good and godly decisions. Can you say amen? And later, Reagan was asked the question, said, "What did you learn from that experience?" And he said, "I learned to make my own decisions." See, that's what I'm telling you here tonight. The little woman that we read about in 2 Kings, she made her own decision. She ran to the prophet of God. She didn't say, when her son died, oh, why did this happen? Where are you, God? I just wish that prophet had never come by here." She didn't say any of those things. She just got everything ready, and she ran to the prophet of God. And God raised her son from the dead. Oh, I'm telling you, God is so good. Everybody say, "God is so good." You that are home watching, I just believe the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. And if anybody's watching and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, don't click that button and turn me off until you make the right choice. Don't be like Ronald Reagan and be in confusion and not know what to do. Make right choices. Anybody in this room tonight, if you've never made, Johnny, do you know the song "It Is Well"? I want you to play that, and I just feel in my heart that God wants to minister to you right now. And if there's anybody in this room, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, tonight you can change that, and you can walk out of this place, and you can be like the little woman was. You can say, "It's well." See, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, you can't make that statement. So if there's anybody in this room that you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you're not right with God in your relationship, and you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, would you raise your hand and here, bless you. Would you get up out of your seat and come down here and stand with me? Anybody else? Come on. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, just come down here and stand right now. Is anybody else? Your heart and your life is not right. Your relationship is not right with God. Just come and stand with me right now. Anybody at home? Or maybe somebody watching there beside you. I know I've learned so much about different people watching lately. Sometimes 3 or 4 people are in a room. Just recently somebody told me they had 40 people in one room watching our broadcast, and many of them were not born again. So if you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, we're going to pray with these right now. Is anybody else? Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? Your heart is not right with God. If Jesus were to come, you wouldn't be ready. If you were to die, you would not be ready. Is there anybody else in the room? Anybody? I don't want to rush this because this is so important. This is so important. Is there anybody else? While I wait just a moment. You at home. Is anybody at home? All right, I want us all to stand on our feet. I want us all to stand on our feet, and I want us to raise our hands, and I want you to pray out loud this prayer. I don't want you to just repeat it because I'm giving you words. I'm going to give you words, but I want you to think about the words that you're repeating. And you're going to let Jesus be Lord of your life, where you can go out of this room tonight and you can answer, "It is well. It is well." Everybody say, "It is well." So I want you in the building here, all of you, I want you to repeat the prayer with these that we're going to pray now. I know you don't need the prayer, but these are praying it, so we're supporting that. You at home, even though you're separate or miles away or states or countries away, you pray with us right now this prayer. And if you've got loved ones, let's believe God for your loved ones to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many in this room you've got loved ones that you want to see come to the Lord Jesus Christ? I have a loved one, and I'm believing God to change her heart and to change her life. So let's all raise our hands. And as I lead these gentlemen in prayer, you repeat it with me. And so, gentlemen, today, and bless you, sweet joy, I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you right now. Dear Lord, I come to you now. I give you my life. I surrender. I've tried to make it on my own. I've not done a good job of it. I need your help. I want my roots to change. I want your DNA, Lord. I want you to live in me. I want to forsake the old ways of my life and take on the life of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Forgive me now, Lord. And Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. From this moment on, I believe you're going to give me strength. I'm going to have a better life than I've ever had. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give Jesus.